Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, thanks for your word. Thanks, Lord, for the fact that we can sit down here in a building that isn't crushed by an earthquake, and that we're alive, our close relatives are alive and well, and we just pray, Lord, that you'd comfort those in the far reaches of this world that are suffering from great calamities. Just comfort them, Lord, and may you be glorified. May the gospel be preached. And we ask in Jesus' name, amen. So today, the sermon's title, it's this: Repent Yourself or Die Also. Repent Yourself or Die Also. Okay? In other words, you know, you repent. You repent. Repent yourself, okay? Now, the text is Luke 13, 1 through 9. We've read it already, but I'm just going to flip over there so I'm there ready to look at it. Well, that's in my bulletin. Let's just keep that open. And, you know, I like to take this text and use it if there's an awful disaster, which I don't know if there's been. There may have been a couple, but what an awful disaster there in Turkey and Syria with, I can't remember the number anymore, 28,000? I forgot now, 27 plus, 28 plus thousand, whew, have died. And, you know, and many more have lost their family members, and then many more have lost their possessions and their place to live. They're just sitting out in the cold. The temperatures are running around 30, 40 degrees. They got fires. They're huddling around and hoping that their loved ones can be discovered, you know, in the rubble. But here's the question for us today. What's the question for us? The question for us: if someone, first of all, is persecuted or murdered, does that indicate they are more evil than other people and they got it because of karma? What if someone gives you a gift? Does that mean you are better than other people because you received a gift? Actually, the things that people do to you mostly indicate the character of the person doing it. It has more to do with them, okay? If you get a gift, that means the person giving it is generous. It doesn't mean you deserved it, okay? If someone treats you poorly, that means they're not kind. That's what it means. Okay, it's very simple, really. But some Jews from Galilee were worshiping God through their sacrifices. Pilate had them killed while they were worshiping. While they were worshiping God and making their sacrifices for God, they were killed by Pilate, Pilate's men. Now, no one doubts that Pilate was evil. That's why they were killed, because Pilate was very evil. But the question arises, does this also mean that the worshipers who were killed were very evil, more evil than others in Galilee? Were they worse sinners than other Galileans? Isn't karma real? Jesus answers this question. The answer that he gives is no, karma is not real. Instead of thinking so much about how evil other people are, we should be realizing that we are evil. You should be realizing that you are evil. So evil that unless you repent of your evil, you will be going to hell. You are that evil. Repent yourself or die also. Like those in the news that Jesus heard. Jesus heard the news about those people who had been killed. Let's just read that. I'm going to read that. Now, on that very occasion, there were some present who reported to him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices. And Jesus responded and said to them, "Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans just because they have suffered this fate? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." Or do you think that those 18 on whom the tower in Siloam fell and killed them were worse offenders than all the other people who live in Jerusalem? No, I tell you. But unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. You are that evil. Repent yourself or die also. You will suddenly find yourself dragged down to hell, a sudden, unexpected punishment, like the sudden death that these Galileans experienced, or that those under the Tower of Siloam experienced. Now, Jesus at another time said that you folks, you see the small errors in other people, and you want to fix those people, help them correct their way of thinking, or point out their sins. Yes, those people might have tiny splinters in their eye, figuratively speaking. But you have a logjam in your eye. How can you possibly help them? We tend to focus on the sins of others instead of ours because we want to feel self-justified, righteous, superior, blameless, not responsible for our own situation. Everything is someone else's fault, not mine. Like Adam blamed God and Eve. And Eve blamed the serpent. Until I accept responsibility for my own situation, until you accept your responsibility for your own situation, responsibility for your own actions, responsibility for your own evil, responsibility for these things, nothing's going to change. And until you accept responsibility for your own sin, you are on your way to hell. It's funny, you know, you got to plead guilty to be found innocent. All the people that are out here pleading not guilty, innocent, I'm innocent, are going to hell. Because they're actually guilty. But if we would say, I'm guilty, I deserve to go to hell. I deserve to be like those folks in Turkey who were crushed underneath a building, thousands of them. I deserve that. Then, if we place our faith in Jesus, we can be forgiven for our awful sins. Interestingly, the folks who told Jesus about Pilate killing the worshiping Galileans did not insinuate that all Galileans must be evil because a few of them suffered this fate, right? That wasn't something that they brought up. But sometimes we take it that far. We'll see something happen to somebody in a group of people and we say, well, that's because all those people are like, they just all deserve that. All that group deserves that. Whatever group they're in. But this was an in-the-family disaster when these Galileans were killed by Pilate's men. It was in the family. Jesus was the Galilean, you see. And probably 11 of the 12 apostles, or they were called disciples at this point, were Galileans. Okay, Judas was not. Did you know that? So when someone close to you has trouble, like this situation, you know, we're Galileans and a bunch of Galileans were worshiping and Pilate had his men kill them while they were worshiping God. He mixed their blood with the blood of their sacrifices. So if someone close to you has trouble like this situation, do you conclude that they are worse sinners than you, someone in your group, you know? But some would admit that considering the evil of Pilate, we can't blame the people whom Pilate killed for their death. But what about a natural disaster? So these people brought this news to Jesus about the Galileans. So Jesus said, well, what about a more natural disaster? Yeah, we can see that Pilate's evil was the tower at Siloam evil. Okay, or the people, you know, or a disaster or an accident that killed people. What if 28,000 people were killed in Turkey by falling buildings due to an earthquake like happened. And in Syria. Surely, these must be the most evil people. Or perhaps Turkey and Syria are the most evil nations. I must be a better person than they are. My country must be far more righteous than Turkey or Syria. But Jesus already knows that some people are thinking that natural disasters like falling buildings can't be blamed. So it must be when the tower at Siloam fell, killing 18, that those 18 were really evil people. This is really a superstition. Okay, it's a superstition. We got to get that out of our minds, okay? That's superstition to think that way. It's superstition to think, oh, evil befell someone, so they must have been bad. It's no better than when the natives of the island of Malta, who were helping the Apostle Paul and others who had shipwrecked there on that island of Malta, okay? The Maltans, or however you say their name, they saw Paul seriously bitten by a viper. They're all warming themselves. They'd been shipwrecked. The Maltans are like, here, we're going to start this fire for y'all. And they were helping rescue the people from the shipwreck. And Paul brings a bundle of wood over to the fire and throws it in there. And the heat, there was a viper in the bundle, and it comes out and it latches right onto him. Okay? So the superstitious way of looking at this is, well, Paul must have been really bad because he, karma tried to get him in the shipwreck, it missed, so now the snake's going to get him, okay? That's just superstition. This thing about karma is superstition. So that's what they were saying. They were saying, we'll look at it. Acts 28, verse 4. When the natives saw the creature hanging from his hand, they began saying to one another, undoubtedly, this man is a murderer. He must be a murderer. And though he has been saved from the sea, justice has not allowed him to live. But listen to this. He shook the creature off and suffered no harm. They're expecting him to swell up or suddenly fall down dead, but after they had waited a long time and he had seen nothing unusual happen to him, they changed their minds and began to say that he was a god. It's just a superstitious way of looking at the events of life. People love to look at the events of life and take it as a sign from God. Do not do that. Okay? Where does God communicate to us? In the Bible. Not through signs, okay? Okay? And so they take it, signs in many different ways, looking for guidance through signs, or looking, judging people through these kinds of signs of, well, a snake bit him, well, a building fell on him, well, somebody killed that guy, he must have been really bad. Those aren't signs from God, okay? Okay, there's no such thing as karma, okay? That's just a superstition. So, now, however, think about this, though. Although Paul was a persecutor of Christians, even, you might say, a murderer of Christians, before he was converted, he was never condemned for it, and his life had turned around as a result of his conversion. The viper bit Paul for what reason? To demonstrate his apostleship. Okay, that was why. Not to show he's God, but God ordained it, to show he was an apostle, okay? It's a fulfillment of prophecies. So Jesus addresses this superstition that the Jews had, this superstition that the Maltans had, this superstition that you and I have. He said this here in Luke. So we're looking at Luke again, back to our text, Luke 13, 4 through 5. He said, no, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Or do you think that those 18 on whom the Tower of Siloam fell and killed them were worse offenders than all the other people who lived in Jerusalem? No, I tell you, But unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. So he says the same thing twice. Where I get the title for this, repent yourself or die also. All right. So when a disaster occurs, don't condemn the sufferers. Look to yourself and repent of your sin, because Jesus is saying that you are guilty enough to deserve worse than what befell the Galileans. You deserve worse than what befell the 18 on which the Tower of Siloam fell. You deserve worse than those who have died in Turkey and Syria. Then Jesus addressed the evil of the whole nation of Israel. He says, you're looking at these people because of these disasters. Well, sometimes disasters do come by God's will, but he'll tell us, okay? And he told us that this is what's going to happen to Israel, okay, because of their sin. So this isn't a universal thing where things, just happen, okay? It's just the common curse on all of us that we die, right? And we all die and we all suffer. It's the common curse. It's not because you're more evil than someone else, but sometimes it is. It's rare, but sometimes it is. And Jesus is going to tell us about one such event now. It's sort of like it's true what I've taught you now, but compare this now, because like I said, you should be repenting, people. You yourselves should be repenting. And here's what's going to happen. Look at this next text. I'll read it. Verse 6. Luke 13, 6. And he began telling this parable. A man had a fig tree which had been planted in his vineyard. Now think about the fig tree. It's universally a symbol of the people of God, especially the Jews, okay? And he came looking for fruit on it and did not find any. And he said to the vineyard keeper, look, for 3 years I've come looking for fruit on this fig tree without finding any. Now think about this. Jesus ministered for about 3 years. And he's been looking for fruit. Okay? Cut it down. Why does it even use up the ground? It's like, you're not even worth a bullet. you're not even worth the space of the ground. You're not worth more than this. You're taking up space. But he answered and said to him, sir, leave it alone for this year too until I dig around it and put in fertilizer. And if it bears fruit next year, fine. But if not, cut it down. So for 3 years, Jesus ministered to Israel, but the fruit was minimal, especially among the leadership of Israel. But even the crowds of thousands of people whom Jesus miraculously fed with the fishes and the loaves, remember that? He did that twice to a huge crowd of people, miraculously fed them, but they did not believe in him. What? They were following him. Nah, they didn't believe in him. Let's just listen to what Jesus said about that, okay? They just came to church for a free meal. John 6:10. Okay, John 6:10. Jesus said, have the people sit down. Okay, he's wondering, where are we going to get food for these thousands of people? He said to the disciples. The disciples are like, I don't know, there's a boy here with a few fish and a few loaves of bread. We've only got like, what? I forget how many. 5,000, 6,000 people? 5,000 here. The men were 5,000. So Jesus said, have the people sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. So that's how many he fed. That's the miracle. He fed 5,000 fish and bread, fish sandwiches. McFishes. Now, look down to verse 26. He leaves, okay? He leaves, and then they follow him to some other location. This big crowd follows him. And look at verse 26. Jesus answered them and said, truly, truly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw signs, miraculous signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. you come follow me because you want another meal. So this big crowd that you think, oh, aren't they believing in Jesus? He's saying, no, you don't believe in me. You don't believe in me at all. You just want a free meal. All right. So my point is, Jesus is there for 3 years ministering to Israel. Are we going to get any fruit here? No, no fruit. But, you know, the one little bit of fruit here and there, obviously, there's always a remnant of belief wherever God, you know, wherever we see the gospel preached, there's going to be a remnant. But as a whole, the country is not believing. So therefore, Jesus was about to cut down Israel and end the old covenant. 40 years later, the temple itself would be destroyed for the second time. For the second time and last time. Look at Matthew 3:7. Matthew 3:7. So the point is, you know, we need to look to ourselves. We see disasters. Look to ourselves or be reminded by the disaster that we're guilty enough for that same disaster. They weren't any worse than us. Matthew 3:7. But when he saw many of the Pharisees, now this is talking about John the Baptist, actually, coming for baptism, he said to them, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore, bear fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not suppose that you can say to yourselves, we have Abraham for our father. For I say to you that from these stones, God is able to raise up children to Abraham. The axe is already laid to the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Just like the parable about the fig tree. That Jesus gave here after the killing of the worshipers and the Tower of Siloam, he brings up this parable of the fig tree. The axe is laid to the root of the trees, John the Baptist says. So repent. So what of you? What of me? Will we take responsibility for our sin? Will I take responsibility for my sin? Will you take responsibility for your sin? Or will you be cut down by God, dragged down to hell to a place of eternal torment because you considered yourself to be better than other people and you would not repent? Put your faith in Jesus. Confess your sin. Flee the judgment that is coming. Jesus never turned away anyone who came to him believing. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, thanks, Lord, for this parable. Thanks for these events recorded in Scripture. And it's a horrible event in Turkey and Syria, but we thank you, Lord, that what we can learn from it by comparing it with Scripture. Lord, may we redouble our efforts to reach a world of people, all of whom are guilty enough to be killed in huge earthquakes and floods like the world at the time of Noah. Lord, as we observed earlier when we were looking at the scripture in Genesis, Lord, we observed that you promised not to destroy the world again like that, even though we still deserve it. So, Heavenly Father, forgive us for our sins. May we truly turn from them, repent, place our faith in Jesus, knowing that only his righteousness is what can satisfy your requirements. We thank you for giving him for us, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Can you believe it? We deserve to be crushed under falling buildings, but Calvary covers all those sins that were deserving of that. Jesus suffered like those people under the falling buildings. He took our place under the falling buildings, see, in a sense. All right, that's an interesting way to think of it, but that's true. Whatever we deserve, he suffered it for us. Calvary covers it all, 3:12.